Hey, I am excited to be back with you today. My name is Michael Tropea. If you don't know, I serve here as the campus pastor and just grateful to be back with you this week. Pastor Doug, our lead pastor of Grace Community at Large, was here with you last week talking about this aspect of prayer from a corporate sense, who we are as a people, and to be pressing into prayer from a corporate angle. This week, I'm going to be pressing into this idea of prayer from our individual lives, becoming a people of prayer, both individually and corporately today. So I'm excited for that this year. And we're going to be looking at a classic text today that we all know. And when I say the word classic, here's what I mean: timeless and known. We just know it, and I'll teach from it shortly. But I asked people, the social media world, my staff, hey, when I say the word classic, what comes to mind? And some of the things that they shared with me were this. One, classic cars, right? Shelby, Cobra. Some of them said, one person said a Volkswagen Beetle. Sure, that is a classic. Other people said movies, right? So they said movies such as Dumb and Dumber, right? That's a classic movie. National Lampoon's, we just got out of Christmas Vacation, Home Alone, Lord of the Rings, all those classic movies that we know. Some people said music, the old school Frank Sinatra and all of those classic artists that we listen to. Some people said traditions, like the classic traditions of Christmas Eve that they have with their family or going to the ballpark. Some people mentioned photos, classic photos that they know or events that have happened. And one of my favorite classic photos is this. It's one from the 1930s. I have it in my office. It's a lunch atop a skyscraper. This classic photo of from the 1930s of people working hard and just living on literally the edge of a steel beam in New York City. And some people reference personal photos. So from the archive, I took and want to share with you one of me. That is fifth grade Mike, who was a little punk. And my mom, it's classic haircut because my mom literally put a bowl on my head and cut around the bowl. And so there is classic Mike. You can take that down. And so these things are classic, timeless, and we know these things, and we know these, and we memorize them. And today, one of the things we do at the beginning of every year, what are the classic things we do at the new year? What? We make new goals, right? We have new words for what this year is going to be. That's just something we often do. And so one of the classic things I want to put before you today is this. How many of our goals that we have maybe have made or words that we have, how many of you have put a deeper prayer life in the top three of your goals this year? Probably not any of us or a lot of us, if we're being honest, but I believe wholeheartedly that it needs to be the top priority of every single day and every single year. And I believe Jesus sets that precedent for us today. And so we're going to be talking about this, what prayer is and how Jesus' words model it for from the disciples and for us today to live out prayerful life in real and practical ways for our lives. So we're going to open up to that classic text I mentioned in Matthew 6. And many of us know it. Actually, for the next 12 weeks after this, we're going to be starting our Sermon on the Mount series, which I'm very excited for. But this is in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus is communicating to his disciples and the people at large. And so we are going to teach through Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. And one of the things I want to put before you as well is this. I want you to bring your physical Bibles if you have them, just to take notes as we go through this year, just as a way you can use, your Bible apps, that's all good. But bring your Bibles, and if you don't have one, we have a gift for you on the way out. We want to give you one, just so you can continue to grow with the Word of God outside of your tech for a moment, just to slow down as we embrace His Word. So we are going to be reading from Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. So Jesus speaks these words. He says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be what? Seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, this is a classic text for us. This is a classic text for me growing up. See, I grew up a part of the Catholic faith for the first 16 years of my life, and I repeated this prayer probably hundreds, if not thousands of times. Why? Because I was in confession a lot, and here's what they did. They said, say 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers, and so I knew this prayer a lot. But the thing is, I never actually knew the prayer. I knew the words of the prayer, but I didn't actually know the prayer. I didn't know what Jesus meant and how he meant it for our flourishing if we would just look and examine these words today. And so what I want to do is just to unpack it in full for us today. So when we start off with this idea of prayer, there are many great definitions out there. Growing up, really, the Christianity 101 definition was, hey, prayer is talking with God. That's what we have heard and known. And although that is true, technically, it's much deeper and larger and more beautiful than that. And people have endeavored and written books upon books about prayer, the process of prayer, and we even know them within our Christian, if we've been in the Christian game any length of time. But there's a beautiful definition that I have thought that has helped me understand it. And it's from the late theologian and pastor Tim Keller on his book, aptly titled Prayer. And here's the definition I want to put before us. We can define prayer as a personal communicative response to the knowledge of God. We can define prayer as a personal communicative response to the knowledge of God. And you may hear that and be like, what in the world does that mean? I like talking with God a lot easier, right? But this is a beautiful definition of this aspect of prayer, and I want to unpack that specific, his specific definition. Because of Christ coming near, because of him paying our debt for sin, we can have a personal relationship with God, with a God that is knowable, who wants to share himself with us today, but also who wants us to share ourselves in full with him as well. It's a two-way personal relationship. Our Father, the first words of the prayer are our Father. It's a relational relationship, right? But also it's communicative, meaning this fact is we can share with him everything. We can share with him our grief. We can sit before him in silence. We can declare like we do in worship an expression of his greatness, and we sing it. We can question him like David often did. God, where are you? But I know your steadfast love is true. Where are you? We can also bring to him our needs and prayers and supplication, but we also can just sit in his presence and listen. And he wants to share himself with us. It's a two-way street. But what we have made prayer as a Christian culture is just us talking to God like he's a genie. God, give me this. God, move in this way. God, do this. But it's so much broader and deeper than that. It's a personal relationship with a God who cares and has revealed himself to us. But also this last part of the definition is important. It comes from a knowledge of who he is. If we never know his character through his word, if we never are with his people as a representation of Christ, if we never let the Spirit stir us and help us remind ourselves of him, our prayers will go nowhere because we don't know who he is. We don't know that he's merciful. We don't know we have a God that heals. We don't know a God of love today. But it starts and flows from a knowledge of who he is, and then we communicate from that place. So what is prayer? Like I said, a personal communicative response to the knowledge of God. And so I want to break down how this prayer plays itself out and why it's intentional in Jesus putting this prayer forward. And so here's where I want to start. The first thing I want to put before you in this prayer is this: prayer is an alignment with God's heart, not him aligning with mine. Prayer is an alignment with God's heart, rather than him just saying, rather than him aligning with our heart and desires. What does Jesus's prayer start out like? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be whose name? My name? No, your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Church, who is the central character of the beginning of the prayer? Not us. It's the God, creator of the universe. God himself is the central character, and our affections and our prayers should flow from that place, from that person, not the other way around. And this is the flow of scripture throughout all of God's word, aligning our hearts with his. What is the Old Testament? What does it reveal in the commandments, right? The first four commandments, what's the first one? You shall have no other gods before who? Before me, right? Don't make an idol. Don't worship the created over the creator. Align your hearts with the God of the universe who has created you. What's the third one? Don't misuse his name. Why? Because this is the holy, sovereign, creator God, and we should exclaim that name and that name alone. It's alignment of our hearts with his holiness. And what is the fourth one? Remember the Sabbath. Why is that an alignment of our hearts? Because oftentimes we get going and live in a way that says it's about us. We are the ones who effort ourselves. No, it's God who has sovereignly created us, who's given us the breath in our lungs to live, and we can rest that he is the one producing through us, not us being the one who produces, to align our hearts with his. That's the essence of prayer, about aligning our hearts with the creator. And that's what this book speaks throughout, alignment back with as the image bearer that we are, in alignment with the creator God. You see, a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago exactly, the Mega Millions was 1.2 billion. And I don't take, when it's 400 million, 500 million, I'm like, I don't care. But when it's over $1 billion, I start to take notice. And so it was 1.2 million. I was sitting in the Walmart parking lot at Troop in the Loop right there. And I wouldn't lie. I was like, I'll just go in. I'll get my quick pick numbers, multiplier, just to make sure we're getting the full amount payout, right? I was sitting in the parking lot, and here was my prayer. I was like, Lord, if I go in and buy one, just let me win, right? I will give it all. I'll give most of it away, right? I will give most of it away. Don't worry, don't write me. I didn't end up buying one. You don't need to email me. If you did, good for you. You didn't win, you're here. But the fact of the matter is, like, that was my prayer. And it was probably the prayer of a lot of people, to be honest, right? But that is often what we make prayer, is it not? Hey, God, give me. God, do this for me. God, heal my son. Give me direction for this career that I want to do. God, come in to do the things. And they're earnest and meaningful desires. And I'm not discrediting that. But they aren't always wrong. But I think it's getting in the way of us missing out on the most fundamental entry point of prayer. And it's God himself. God, give me you for the career you want me to have, to live out for your glory. God, be in the things I'm going about to do today. God, help me to understand how to communicate with my son or my daughter who's walking through this issue, rather than me just bulldozing and going in. How would you have me do this? How would you help me cultivate my marriage? Help inform me of how you're moving in the situation. God, interrupt my day. If I can share the gospel with someone, help interrupt my day rather than me just going and doing. You see, I believe that is what Jesus is saying to his disciples and us today, is that for a deeper, intimate prayer life, it must begin with aligning our hearts first with him and flowing from that place. You see, that's why he's given us Jesus as the visible image of the invisible God. It's why he's revealed himself to his word, and why I want to equip you to know his word so you can know his character and know how to pray. It's why he's given you the church and community as a physical representation here on earth of Christ, and has given his spirit so it can cultivate your heart to align your hearts with his, not ours. It's Tyler Staton in the book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. He speaks the essence of biblical prayer when he says this quote. It'll be up on the screens for you. The assumption of biblical prayer is that God's action always precedes my request. The aim is not to get God in on what I think he should be doing. Rather, the aim of prayer is to get us in on what God is doing, become aware of it, join it, and enjoy the fruit of participation. You see, it's us aligning our hearts with his, seeing where he's moving, join it and enjoy the participation in how he's framing and moving our lives for his glory and our good. And it's to know and cultivate a deeper prayer life in knowing his heart, knowing his character, and joining in that rhythm. So let me tension you a little bit in this room today, and I pray the Spirit tensions you. When was the last time you spent time with God for God? When was the last time you spent time with God for God? Not to ask him for his stuff, not to ask him any desire you had, but just to share in his beauty and stare at the beauty provided us in the cross. When was the last time you spent time with God for God? Because as we do that, church, his spirit will piece our hearts to make it more in alignment with his, and we will continue to align our hearts with how he's moving in our lives instead of him, hey God, just come to me, right? Prayer is in alignment with God's heart, not him aligning with mine. And here's where, when we understand that reality, here he continues on the prayer Jesus does here. And here's a second point I want to bring out, is that prayer is radical daily dependence on God for our every need. Prayer is radical daily dependence on God for every need. What are the next words Jesus puts before us in verses 11 and 12? Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. You see, this is a radically countercultural statement that Jesus is putting forward. Why this is radical, because it's relying on the God of the universe for all our physical, spiritual, and emotional needs of what the day is. Not tomorrow, today. And it's countercultural because of this idea. Is that what the culture is saying? Is that what the culture is living? No, I will live out my motivations and my strength. I will tackle whatever it is I need to do today. I'm self-sufficient on my own. That's the culture statement. But this prayer that he puts forward is a radical countercultural statement because of reliance on God for just today. But here's the thing. I've started to understand this prayer more and more as I've walked out my story that God's given. I've shared with you my story, what we walked through over the past 18 months. But when we found out, obviously, like I mentioned before, that we were pregnant with our son, Abram, after walking through years of infertility and miscarriage, excuse me, the prayer that we wrote on our board was simply this. One of these days, I'll stop coughing. Give us today, Lord. Give us today, Lord. And in fairness, when I started praying that prayer, it was out of fear. It was out of brokenness and fear that I prayed that. God, give us today. Just give us one more day. And every single day, that prayed that prayer more and more and more. And little by little, that prayer didn't become a prayer of worry. That came a prayer of faith. God, help me lead the team that you have given me in a way that I can't possibly. Today, help me to understand how to lead them, because I don't know how. God, help me to lead the church every single Sunday and throughout the week, because I have no reason for being here other than God cultivating my heart and calling me to lead in this space. when I pull in my driveway, I get home, I'm just like, God, help me to love my wife as she deserves. Because my flesh wants to lead another way. Help me today to do that. God, help me to lead my daughter in a way that points to you today. It's radical daily dependence. And some of the things we must say is, God, give us today the strength I need to walk in whatever comes. Give us today, Lord, the forgiveness I need to extend to my brother or sister. God, give me the ability today to share with you my anxieties, my frustrations, my questions, and literally give me the ability to depend on you solely and nothing else. Not my efforts, not my manipulations, not my strength, but the ability to live in your presence today with all my brokenness in me and the brokenness that will inevitably come from around me, and help me to cling to you through it today. You see, what Jesus is stating that we need to do business with is this, is what are we relying on in our today that is other than God? What are we relying on in our today that is other than God? Is it our gifting, right? We can go a long way on our gifting, but heads up, that gifting is given by God himself. And we can rely on, we oftentimes rely on our jobs. Maybe we put our identity in our kids and how they'll perform today. Or maybe it's our performance or how we'll show up or what work we'll crank out. Or is it our own strength in some way today? Heads up, these things will ultimately fail us because they're poor gods. And God in Jesus is calling us back to radical daily dependence on him for our every single need. And lastly, put before you this: prayer is faith-filled resolve in a God who holds tomorrow. Prayer is faith-filled resolve in a God who holds all of our tomorrows. Coming into this year, how many of you are anxious about what tomorrow holds? We live in a culture that is anxious about what tomorrow holds. When's the next war breaking out? When's the next shooting happening? Like, we live in this anxious state, do we not? Maybe you're worried about how God will provide or what things are going to look like tomorrow for your job or your life or your kids. Maybe some of you are concerned about sickness or loss in some way or grief or pain that you're bringing into this year about what it may look like tomorrow. Or you're on the other end of things. Not the broken end of things, but you're saying, hey, any of you bringing in your plans of what a better you looks like in 2025? You see, I know that's what I tend to bring to the table as it relates to my prayer life, especially as it relates to the turning of a calendar in a new year. Hey, God, I'm going to set myself up to grow as a leader this way. I want to see this happen in the life of my family, so I'm just going to make sure the trajectory happens, and I will effort myself to do that for this next. This is what it's going to look like this year. Hey, I'm going to save this much amount of money and put it away, so in 10, 20, 30 years from now, I'm going to be comfortable, I'm going to be good, and we oftentimes say, hey, God, you good with that? Whether we actually say those words or not. God, are you good with that? And here's what I realized about those prayers of tomorrow. I was at the center of my tomorrow. I was at the center of my tomorrows. And the prayers that I prayed were really from a place of worry rather than a place of faith-filled resolve. They were a worried state and centered on self-glory and self-promotion. And that's many of us in this room today. You see, what I believe Jesus is teaching his disciples and people that are listening as it relates to this prayer at the end of the Lord's Prayer is when he says, lead me into temptation, but deliver, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Is God, if I'm faced with a temptation that comes tomorrow, if my flesh wants to rear its ugly head again with broken things of tomorrow, if evil presents itself in any way, God, give me the faith-filled resolve to trust you in the uncertain tomorrow. If the sickness doesn't go away, God, you're still good. Please carry me through. If the way I think things should go in my life, through my studies, through what job I'm going to step into, the way my kids do or don't do what I say, God, help me not to put a fist up to you and turn from you because it's not my plan. God, if the addiction or sin reveals itself again in my life, God, you are good. I am a son and daughter of the Most High King, and you've called me back to know you. It's been paid for in full. God, how in the world am I going to provide for the needs of my family or my neighbor? You will provide as your word says you will. No matter what temptation comes or evil the future holds, you are a good God who loves me and has me better than I do. That is what prayer produces in us, because it's not rooted in worry or fear about tomorrow, but it's faith-filled resolve in a God who holds all of our tomorrows. But how do we get there? Like, Mike, it's good that prayer is in alignment with our hearts with God. It's great that it's radical daily dependence on the God who holds our every need. It's great that it's faith-filled resolve, but how do we actually get there? Heads up, it's not doing more. But it's by sitting and kneeling at the feet of the God of the universe and pressing into the heart of the gospel more today. That's the more, staring at him. Romans 8, 31 through 34 speaks this exact thought about how we can get there. Paul, writing to the Roman church, says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us what all things?" Heads up, that all things ultimately is himself. "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, not us. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." It's us to stare at the beauty of the gospel shown in the perfect life of Jesus Christ. Us to stare at the cross of Christ and how that atoned for the sin and brokenness and the separation that we deserve, but Jesus took it on himself. It's to stare at the resurrection and the power that Jesus conquered sin, death, and the grave, and to stare at the resurrection and say, "God, we can now live with life and hope in relationship with a God who hears because you now live and intercede for us." That's the good news of the gospel today, that we have a God that is noble, not because of us, but because of his son. And we can be in relationship with the God of the universe who knows what we need even before we ask it. So why do we make prayer about clinging to God alone? Because as we get him, we get everything we need. That is the good news today. We serve a God of love today, a God who justifies because of Jesus, who will give us all things, and we have an advocate before the Father who knows our every need that we can talk to, and he wants to share himself with us today. That is the good news. So how do we even apply any of this? How do we walk in daily dependence and a deeper prayer life in 2025? Heads up, it is rocket science. 19 steps. Kidding, totally kidding. I think it's simply this: making our number one pursuit of our day, of our year, and our lives, prioritizing spending time with him. Prioritizing spending time with the King of the universe that we can now know because of Christ if we have made him Lord and submitted to him as Lord. Prioritizing spending time with him, because if we just did this as a church, if we just woke up in the morning, and even people have for years have been saying, like J.P. Paklutis, pastor down outside of Waco, he says, "No Bible, no phone, no Bible, no breakfast," something simple like that. If we just lived this posture out, you want to see our inner lives change in 2025? You want to see our marriages continue to grow and deepen? You want to see our community of faith here at UB, Greater Grace Community, at the world at large, thrive? We would see it happen if we just prioritize this in our lives daily, abiding with him and knowing who he is. So here is a one-week hit between now and next week. Prioritize before you've opened, look at your phone, or before you even eat breakfast, or whatever posture it is, make sure you spend time with him in secret in some way. Heads up, people call it quiet time. I just get excited that we can have communication with the God of the universe that wants to know us. Prioritize spending time with him. And I'm already way over, so I'm just going to keep going. How does this look and play itself out? I want to equip you. We want to equip you as a staff and a team to know what the word says. And so we're going to press into that in deeper ways in equipping classes that I'm dreaming and praying about and raising up leaders and teachers here so you can know his word. But we want to put before you opportunities of prayer because I just believe wholeheartedly that we need to be a people, that people of prayer that prays together. And so we have the opportunity each and every week to have multiple prayer times where you can come and join us and pray alongside us. 8:30, we have a team every Sunday morning, that gathers together, that walks around the parking lot in this room in different places. We want to invite you into that space to pray with us, to see God move in deep and truer ways amongst our family. We have an opportunity on the second and fourth Sundays like for the college and young adult group at 6:30. You don't need to be a college or young adult person in that age range to pray with us at 6:30. Please come and press into that with us. 12 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursdays over at our old Jacksonville campus, the staff, and we're inviting everyone to be a part of that time with us to press into it corporately because as we behold and pray to a God who hears our every prayer and wants to hear us, I believe things will change in our community. I believe things will change in our world because the God of the universe hears our prayers and we get to know him. And so we want to invite you into those spaces. And one of the things I want to set the standard with each and every Sunday going forward, after each and every service, I said this at the first service, and multiple people came down and prayed. Every single Sunday, that whoever's speaking on this stage, I am going to be down here waiting for people to pray with. My wife and I are going to be down here waiting for you to pray with. Bring things into the light. Let us not just do this in isolation. Bring things into the light. If there's anything you need prayer, no matter how small or great, bring it into the light. We want to be a praying people, and we'll have a team of people continuing to go here. But each and every Sunday, I want us to bring these things and don't hide them. We want to walk with you and bring them before the God of the universe alongside you so we can walk in unity together and believe and trust God to move in mighty and deep ways for his glory. And so that will be available today throughout however many Sundays God gives us. That I will be here with Alexa, my wife, and others to pray alongside you. And elders and spouses will be a part of this as we continue to grow and go with this posture. But that is something I want to put before us as a people. Church, how do we get to a deeper prayer life in 2025? Cultivating daily walking with the Lord. Let's do that this week and see what he begins to do in us and through us. Let's pray. God, I thank you that we now have access to you because of what Christ has done. God, we can't effort ourselves to come to you, God. We have a God that hears because of what Jesus has done. And now you intercede for us, Jesus, and we thank you for that. Spirit of God, stir our hearts not to be people who just sit on our hands and ask things from you, but stare at your cross, stare at your character, and from that place, let our prayers flow. God, we need transformation of our hearts, renovation of our hearts that are full of flesh, and align them with yours. God, help root us out self-sufficiency and help in and put down deep roots of dependence on you and abiding with you. And God, give us faith today to trust you for the impossible things that you can and will do with our tomorrows, but let us rest that you hold them all. And if there is anyone right now that does not call you Lord and submit to you, God, I pray that your spirit is stirring them and calling them to step out and to step by faith into what the next step of life with you is like. God, we pray you're doing, and we know you're doing a deep work in us. Help us be a people of prayer today and in the days ahead, like only you can. God, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' strong, mighty, and precious name, amen.